Your Bible to the book of Esther. I have several little snippets we're going to talk about that give you kind of a picture of the book of Esther and what goes on in this story. Obviously, I can't read in its entirety because there's just way too much to read. And so if you want something to go home and read this afternoon or this week, it's not a very long book in the Bible. You find it right for the book of Job, page number roughly 776 is where we're going to start at. And so we're going to read a selection of verses out of there today. The title is entitled, Two Queens, Vashti and Esther. Currently, Vashti is the queen that's there with King Xerxes. Another name that is given to King Xerxes is King Ahasuerus as well. You might see that in some translations of Scripture as well. They are the same person. So, but this morning, our Bible will read and will say King Xerxes. If you were some of my students, I know at West Lyon, I think you've learned about King Xerxes. How many of you remember King Xerxes in some of your studying of history and stuff? Nobody's going to admit it today. Oh, Marv raised a hand. That's a few years ago, right? All right, very good. So Esther chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 10. And read through verse 12, and then we'll continue on in our other stories. So imagine, I've got to set a little bit of groundwork for you here. There's this big party going on for several months. And so King Xerxes has a beautiful looking wife, and so he wants to call her to come to the men part of the party and to show her off. And so this is where we begin. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Mahuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigatha, Zathar, and Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. And then just go over to verse 19 across the page there, our column. And so this is what they decided to do. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. So more or less, he divorced her. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. And now go to chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Later, when the anger of King Xerxes had subsided, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he had decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, Let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful girls into the harem of the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women, and let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the girl who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. And then verse 17. So you can imagine this beauty pageant has taken place. He is now at a place where he's going to pick his queen. And so verse 17 says this. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now chapter 3, Haman comes into the picture. Haman is Xerxes' right-hand man. And just to set the groundwork here, Mordecai, who is the more or less the, it's a cousin to Esther, but Mordecai actually raises Esther, and Mordecai will not bow down to Haman, and so Haman is coming through the gates of the city, and Mordecai he stands up, and everybody else bows down, and this makes Haman very upset, because he doesn't think Mordecai respects him, and he will not bow down to him as one of his higher ups, and so this is what goes on now in the life of this story. 3 verse 13. Dispatches were sent by counters to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of their Adar, and to plunder their goods. Where else have you seen where somebody wants to annihilate the Jewish population? Haman wants to do that here in Scripture. There's things you might remember when this happened in your lifetime where someone else wanted to annihilate the Jews and clean up the race. Haman is that kind of a wicked guy. And Mordecai would not bow down. Mordecai being a Jew. And Haman says, I'm not so worried about Mordecai. I want to take out his whole entire race. I want to take out the Jews. This is what Mordecai says. Now let's continue on. Chapter 7, 1 through 6. So Haman has reached a deal with King Xerxes to kill everybody. And by the way, this decree, you must know, in the month of Adar, would actually be about 12 months out. And so there's a decree put out. 1 year from now, we will kill all the Jews, men, women, and children. And Mordecai hears this decree go out. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king asked, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, If I found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, Who is he? Where is this man? Who has dared to do such a thing? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. And by the way, you must know that as Haman is plotting to kill the Jews, they build this big platform to hang people on. And so guess what happens? We go to chapter 7, verse 11. So they hung Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury was subsided. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've just read a wide selection of verses in the story of Vashti and Esther and the king and Haman and Mordecai. Lord, may you bring these to light and may you fill in the gaps within this message in this story today. And may it speak into our lives and may it relate to us today. And so we pray for your Spirit to come upon us and to teach us and to guide us and give us words to speak and the words that we will hear today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Question is, are you ready for such a time as this in your life? We just sang that song earlier this morning. You're placed in a certain situation at a certain time for a very much a godly reason in your life. So today we're looking at a story of two queens, Vashti and Esther. Now the book of Esther is a fairly short book. It's set in the time of exile. Israel had been conquered by foreign rulers. Many of the Israelites had been scattered throughout the land, a large area in the foreign countries with foreign people. And so some Jews find them in the land of Persia under the rule of King Xerxes, a wicked man. Now Persia, just to give you an idea, it would be in the same kingdom in the area today as the country of Iran. So that's the setting of the land that we're talking about this morning. Vashti, we learn, is a beautiful woman. That's literally what her name says. Esther's name means star. Now, the book of Esther is unique. And if you go home and to read it, you will find that never, not even once, is the word of God ever mentioned in Scripture. One of two books that this happens. The other, the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, never mentions the word of God. So there's a little challenge before us this morning as we look at this book and what it means. Then why was this book allowed to come into the Bible if it never truly speaks the word of God? So as we unfold and we unpack this story, I want you to start to see between the lines and the verses of how God works in the lives and in this situation. And you might already see some as we read this morning and how people are placed in certain spots for certain reasons in their lives. So listen to the story of Esther and see if we can see God woven through this story. King Xerxes gives this beautiful, huge banquet to his leaders of his government. They include his military figures and the nobles of the region. He displays his wealth. He displays his splendor and his pomp. And this goes on for 6 straight months where they have this big party. And if you were to read the scripture, it's extravagant. Many decorations are hung. Great banquet of food is set before them. The festivities are just beyond your imagination of how great a feast and banquet this could be. And if you were to read the scripture, you will find that it also says that they drank without restraint. And you all know what that means. The men were allowed to do as they felt they wanted to do. Anything was on the table. And on the last day of those festivities, King Xerxes orders his servants to bring Vashti before his guests, wearing her crown, so his officials could see her beauty. We're not told why, but Vashti refuses. I can give you a few reasons probably why she refused to go into that place with these men. And I'll share a few of those, what might come to light through my study this past week. Everything from being sick, to being modest, to being unhappy about her appearance that day. She maybe had a bad hair day. Women, have you ever had a bad hair day? She could have simply been stubborn. Said, no, I'm not doing it. But here's kind of the atmosphere that she's walking into. It seems pretty obvious she doesn't want to appear because she's walking into a room filled with several drunk men. She'd be insane to go into that room. It would be crazy for her to do that sort of thing. And this enrages the king. She's not allowed to refuse the king. Women were not allowed to refuse their husbands with things that were commanded for them to do or be a part of. Brought all kinds of problems into the palace. So Vashti is permanently banished from the king's presence. And I imagine she's shipped off to some foreign land and she's divorced and she's never heard of again. You know, Vashti, she never speaks in these scriptures here. We never hear from her. But she's smart enough to know that she's got to get out of this situation. And then a young group of women are collected. to undergo this beauty pageant so one of them can be chosen to be the next king for King Xerxes. You know, Vashti's banishment, Vashti's refusal to go into that room of drunk men was Esther's way to become queen of this country. Esther's been raised by her cousin, a man named Mordecai. She was an orphan, as what Al explained. She lost her parents at a very young age. Mordecai's quite a bit older than her, but Mordecai raises Esther. And when Esther's made queen, Mordecai tells her not to reveal her Jewish heritage. And she obeys. We don't know why he said that to her, but for some reason, maybe a God-given reason, Mordecai knew, don't reveal your heritage, Esther. Don't tell the king where you're from or your family lineage. But she's loved and she's admired by the king and his courts. And she's showered with all kinds of gifts and she's cared for. And then we hear this story of Mordecai. He uncovers this plot that somebody wants to overthrow King Xerxes, and Mordecai and Esther, they work out a deal, and Esther tells the king, and that puts Mordecai in the good graces of King Xerxes and even boosts the trustworthiness of Esther to King Xerxes as well. He found favor in them because of that, which will play out here a little later with the story of Haman. And you know that Haman's a wicked man, a high-ranking official promoted by the king. And he doesn't like Mordecai. He's insulted by what goes on with Mordecai because he won't bow to him. Mordecai knows who his God is, and he won't bow to anyone else. And Mordecai stands strong. You can find this in Esther 5, verse 9. And so Haman, he's mad. I mean, there are words that I could use that you would not, it would not be appropriate in church because of this, but he is so upset at Mordecai that he's not only going to kill Mordecai, I'm going to kill all of your people. Your Jews, your Israelites, they're gone. I'm sick of you people. And remember, they're sprinkled all over the country of Persia. And by the way, Persia is a large, vast area. There are 170 provinces in the area of Persia that King Xerxes is in control of. 170, like states. He's going to wipe them all out. Put them to death. That's the wickedness of Haman. That's Haman's heart. And Haman, he offers to pay a large amount of money into the treasury of the palace to have the right to kill these Jewish people and to kill Mordecai. And they set this date. Now, how many of you here would live a different way of life if you knew that in 365 days that your life would be taken from you? Would that change the way you lived? That's what they're facing. Mordecai heard this decree go out. It was set in stone. The king agreed to it. This is what's going to happen. Take the army of Persia and eradicate the Jewish people. Mordecai knows all this. And he mourns and he weeps. And in those days, it was customary for them to take a pile of ashes and place them on the ground in sackcloth, and they'd sit there. And they would mourn and they would grieve. And they would cry out to God for mercy. That's exactly what Mordecai did. And Esther realizes this. He sees, what is Mordecai doing? Why is he grieving? Why is he sad in heart? And so she sends her people to have a conversation with Mordecai. And Mordecai reveals everything to them. And Esther finds this out. And Esther, she now realizes who she is. She knew what happened to Vashti. If you refuse the king, if you go visit the king and you're not invited, you can be banished. Esther has this whole huge thing placed upon her heart of, what am I going to do for my people? One year we will be extinct from the earth. How am I going to save my people? And Mordecai tells her over and over, you go talk to the king. You beg the king for mercy. And Esther, I'm scared. I don't want to go. I don't know what to say. They could kill me. And finally she says, after much prayer, after much fasting by the people, by Mordecai and the other Israelites and Jews that lived around there, finally she says, I will go. And if I die, I die. But I will go. And that's where verse 14 says, for such a time as this. Why do you think Esther became queen? Why do you think Mordecai was so important to this story here? God was at work. Why was Vashti banished from the king? Used his own party to change and to save his people. God's people. Can you see God at work here in this story, in this message that I share with you this morning? How the pieces fit together? You couldn't put it together that good if you tried. But God can. And so the book of Esther is about this moment of truth. When crisis comes your way, when conflict comes your way, what will you do? There's the question for you this morning. And so here's some other questions that I want to throw past you this morning. Will you choose what is safe or what is right? That was Esther's decision. If I say nothing to the king, I will be saved. But my people will surely die. Or do I do what's right? And go to the king and beg for that mercy so all of my people can be saved. There's risk in that because we don't know how that will play out. Maybe in your own life you're in that situation. Will you choose what's comfortable or what's hard but just? Will you choose to protect yourself? Or will you choose to serve God and serve others as He has commanded you to do? Think about where you're placed. Think about why you're placed there this morning. These aren't easy answers to think about when you really want to go there and you really want to do the hard work in your life. And so we have to ask ourselves over and over and over, in all kinds of different situations, from day to day to day, what am I going to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? How will I act? Let me share something with you this morning. This is a poem written by Pastor Martin Niemöller during World War II. And you know that there was a man by the name of Hitler who wanted to kill all the Jews as well. And this is what he wrote in the midst of what was going on in Germany and those lands and so on, and why he thought that this come about. Listen to what he says. It's a very compelling, transforming story in his life that he realized as he lived amongst what was going on there. And he became more outspoken about Hitler and Nazism and the things that were going on in the land. He wrote about our tendency not to speak up for others as long as we ourselves are safe. And here's what he said. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Nimrod's poem reminds us of Esther. It was so tempting for Esther just to be quiet and to remain the queen and do nothing while her people were slaughtered. Because speaking up might mean forfeiting her life. What does it take for us to be moved to speak on behalf of someone else who's being wronged in the world that we live in? That is one of the heaviest things on my heart as a pastor, of the injustices that take place in the world that we live in. And I will speak to those every time. And I hope you do as well, because you know what's right. According to the Word of God, when people are put in situations that they shouldn't be put in, it happens all around us. What does it take for us to speak up? What do we believe is right? And doing so might put your life at risk. Are your reputation at risk? Are your job at risk? Are your family at risk? That's what Esther was doing. You know, the story of Esther helps us see things differently when God calls us to stand for His truth. Do you see God's timing in this story? He's all over it in the book of Esther. She's just in the right place for just the right time to act for God. So where has He placed you? Think about that for a moment. Graduates, we just honored and recognized you this morning. Where is He going to place you next? What does that mean to you in your faith as you follow God in your lives? Where are you now, people? Because this is the right time and the right place to serve God in your life. God is all over Esther's story. And she works so clearly in it. Is God's work that clear in your own life? Do people see it? Can they see God's story written in your life? And I know we have room for improvement, and some of us, all of us, fall short. But can they see God? Not just here today. This is the easy place. But as you go through your week, will they see God? Use your voice. And so how will you answer that call this morning? And all of God's people said,